Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, everybody! Yeah! Recruiting Animal here. On December 4th, 2013, December 4, 2013, just a little while ago, I'm going to tell you about this. I was at a recruiting unconference here in Toronto put on by my good friend Jeff Webb. And I asked the people in one of these little discussion groups you're in, I asked the other recruiters to rate themselves on a scale of 1 to 5 as recruiters with, you know, 1 being the lowest and 5 being the best. One guy told me that he was a 5 out of 5, and he said he gave himself such a high score because he's an accountant and he's recruiting financial people. And because he's an accountant, he can very easily understand what the client wants and he can assess the ability of the candidates. That's why he gave himself a high score. And last week, our guest right here said that he's an invaluable resource to his clients because these hiring managers don't understand the kind of person they need. Quite often, that's the case. And he knows, but he knows the business so well that he can act as a consultant to them. But you know what? There's another point of view on this that has been expressed on this show right here many, many times, and this is it. It says the recruiter doesn't have to know everything. All he or she really has to understand is a few buzzwords. They don't have to understand more than a few buzzwords. Then when they get a candidate on the phone, they just say, look, mister, I'm not an expert in your field. Can you tell me why you're good for this job? And then I can go back to the hiring manager and make a good presentation. You know what? If you're a perfectionist, you're not going to be able to do that. If you're a perfectionist, you are going to think that is going to make you look dumb when you're recruiting for a position you don't understand. But here's the question. Is that a valid concern from a recruiting point of view? Or are you just being run by your vanity? Because, you know, it's an immature person who's afraid to have her limits exposed. She thinks she has to be an expert before she has the right to call somebody. Not because it's necessary to find a good candidate, but because she wants to protect herself from any possibility of criticism. She thinks she always has to look good. She has to look perfect or she's doomed. But that's not the way of the humble man. Because the humble man says, I'm not perfect, but that doesn't mean I have to hide my head in the sand. I don't care if the candidate doesn't respect me. I just want to do my job. You know, one of the traits of a leader is that she's willing to make decisions without having all the information at hand because it isn't always available. And you know why she can do that? Because she's not afraid of being wrong. And likewise, this ability to move forward without an exaggerated fear of negative consequences is one of the skills of a good recruiting professional. And I'm going to tell you one place, one show, where you'll find people moving forward in spite of their imperfections. And Jerry, what show is that?
The Recruiting Animal Show! No problem. Happy to be here. Happy
great.
To be
happy to have
here
you. I never believed
today.
I'd say that, but it's true. Happy to have you. Let's see if we're happy to have our guest here, Michael Goldberg,
lucky
the
to
super
have
recruiter.
What you are, you saying?
Howdy, howdy. Howdy, howdy. Can you hear me? Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you. Let's suck a little more into the phone, a little louder, but otherwise you sound good.
Perfect.
Mike
Perfect.
Goldberg, at Super Recruiter, with two R's. That's always confusing, two
yes.
R's. He makes the R at the end of super as a lowercase letter and the R at the beginning of recruiter an opportunity.
Well, why would that be confusing? It's spelled correctly.
Yeah,
if you had three R's in there or only one, it would be confusing. But two, perfect.
Uh-huh. Well, either way, you've got to give me a hard time about it, right?
Career realism is spelled careerism, okay?
Hate it.
There you go. Hey,
okay.
Speaking of one of the things, you know, you used the word consultant, and I was looking at, you know, prepping for the show, and I saw that consultant is not one of the animal bad words. Shouldn't that be added? What do you think?
No, obviously not. Let me move into the introduction. I told people I'm not going to do as much chit-chat at the beginning, so the people who just want to get the good stuff, fine. Then we can sing and do everything like that later in the show. Okay, now this guy, Mike, the talent community recruiter, just sent me a bio, and I have never read it, but I'm going to read it now. I have been in recruiting for 13 years, mostly in corporate recruiting, with a four-year stint in agency recruiting. I know what Jerry's going to ask you. His passion, you wrote to me in the third person. I'll tell you, that's an animal word. That's animal bad grammar.
Sorry.
Jerry's against that, too.
Yeah, well. Sorry.
His passion is sourcing, recruiting, and building talent networks for the company he works for. 65 days in, Michael works for the American Heart Association. Don't know if you want to admit that here. As the director of talent acquisition, where he manages the recruitment function. Prior to that, Michael worked at Freeman, a global event management firm. Michael loves the animal and thinks he rocks. Don't kiss up to me.
Hey.
Don't kiss up to me.
I gotta do it. Come on, you told me I gotta do that.
Okay.
Right.
Now here's why I'm gonna tell everybody why I invited you. I heard you on the TalentNet live show back in February, and here's what you said. Okay.
Yeah. Animal would like to know, Michael, have you had any success with hiring from your talent network or talent pipeline or talent communities?
We have hired 15 people as a result of the pipeline, and I know that we're adding 4 or 5 more this month. So I think that's successful. Really, it's shortened our time to fill, our cost per hire, the cost of turnover. We've done it all, and I think 15 hires is a good start in the first 6 months.
Yeah, 20 hires. You said, really, if 20, you're getting 5 more in 6 months' time from talent communities, which our friend Jerry here says do not exist, and we've never heard of anybody having any success with them before. That's why you're here. Tell us why you're having success and how we can profit from talent communities, too. Go ahead.
Yeah.
Start.
Absolutely. Well, I think, you know, you got to first off. You gotta, first,
I don't know. I'm having a little trouble.
No,
it's all right.
It's all right.
Can you hear me all right now?
You sound good. You sound fine.
I've got to slam it up to my face here. So
you do that.
Yeah. No. So basically, you know, when we looked at this thing, the first thing that we had to do was put together a talent network. And talent networks and talent communities, they are basically two different things. And the way I've understood it and come to learn through talking to people and talking to my networks is that the talent networks are more of a one-way communication. It's you're pushing out information to candidates, or when you move into the talent community side, you have that engagement with your candidates. They're calling you back. They're talking to you. You're sending them information. They're sending you information back.
Talent
community is like a discussion group.
Like we've all got these discussion groups on Facebook, where all the members can talk with each other and we can talk with the members. That's a talent community. Am I right?
You are right.
It's like a big party.
It is a big party.
Yeah, and the talent network who you're talking about, or the talent pipeline, is where you just got a bunch of names that you do email blasts to. Am I right?
That's a part of it, Animal. That's only one part. I mean, it's also phone engagement, picking up the phone and talking to these
people. I'm just distinguishing between the pipeline
and the community.
Yeah.
You're right.
Okay, so
Sorry.
One's a one-way thing and the other. Okay, it's not hard to explain. Don't confuse us. Okay,
Now
that's another issue. You believe in email blasts. Some people here don't, okay? So now you've got the talent community. We've been told that people are not going to join based around a company. They've already got their own industry-based or profession-based talent communities. They're not going to join Freeman or American Heart Association to chat about the company. Is that what you're successful at doing, what we believe no one can do?
I feel that I am successful, and I'm fairly new to this. I've been doing this for 3 years now, and so or 2 years, sorry. When you played that recording back in February, so before I left in September, we had doubled
that
amount.
You just moved to a new job in September.
What?
Yeah.
He just changed jobs in September. Okay.
Yeah. Why is that a problem, Jerry?
If it was going so well for you with this talent community that you built, why did you leave those people, your community, your people?
I didn't leave them. It's actually kind of interesting. They still reach out to me and they still talk to me. But we've kept the talent community going. They've kept it going over there, and now I've got a chance to do it over here. I think I've got a little more, so now, one of the things that I want to, and I think that Animal really wants to hone in on is how we did it. How did it, what does it take to build it? Would I be correct?
Yeah.
Should I go ahead and move into that? Are you ready?
Yeah, do it.
All right, so perfect. So, basically...
You're starting from scratch here, right?
We're starting from scratch at American Heart, but we're going to do a lot of the same things.
Yeah,
and,
so you're
but
tell
I have some lessons learned, too.
Yeah, okay.
Right?
We're right.
Absolutely. So basically what we're doing, let me focus on what I did and what, obviously that's going to head into where we're going.
Yeah, let's
here.
Just get to it already. 5 minutes.
You bet.
Before we start.
You bet. So basically the first thing we had to do was we had to determine what we really wanted to do overall. And so we had a manager come to us and say, in our audio-visual division over at Freeman. And, we were talking, and he said, well, we'd like to have a pipeline of people that we can tap into. And I said, that's great, but, who are we targeting? So the first thing you have to do is you have to know who your target is, and you also have to have an employee value proposition with that before you can even start building the network and engaging. So there's a lot of planning in it. And here's some of the things that we looked at. We said, what are our most evergreen positions? We looked at audio-visual techs. We looked at people that could work in our shows, the hotels. We looked at customer service representatives. We looked at event production specialists. These are the people that put on the actual show. Obviously, salespeople. You always need salespeople, right? And essentially, what we did is once we had those in place, we then started to look at what made up a successful tech or a successful rep and so on and so forth. And we created a profile around that. And we put those profiles out there within our job postings so that people could get a feel for what they really want to learn or what they really need to be before they should truly apply and really think about it. Now, I talked about the employee value proposition. So we've got the positions, we've got the profiles. Now you got to have the employee value proposition. What is Freeman, or in this case, Freeman Audiovisual, which is a division of Freeman, what did they have to offer, and what made it such a great environment? And we really dug in deep with the leadership team and said, look, guys, what is it that makes you tick, and why would anybody want to join our community? Because we've got to have information to share with them, but why would they want to join us in the first place? And the things that they came up with were around the culture. The culture had an absolutely incredible feel to it because it was hospitality focused.
Define the culture. Okay, how detailed did you get? What kind of questions do you ask to define a culture?
That's a great question. So we're asking,
Don't say it. You're trying to flatter me. Don't do it. You're not succeeding, okay?
Perfect.
Answer the question.
Thank you. All right. Forget your stupid question. I'll answer the question. So basically, we look at what keeps people at our company.
You say, do the people here like to go out for drinks on Friday after work? Do they like to have a cake and sing happy birthday for everybody when it's their birthday?
Yes,
does everybody
talk around
about sports? What
they
kind
like
of concrete
speed.
Things?
Yeah, you bet. They like the speed of the organization, the pace that you move. You are never bored at our company. You're moving at 100 miles an hour.
Those are just so vague that every single company says about their culture. Anything concrete, or is it just these vague things like fast-changing, innovative?
No.
That's how you define
no,
culture,
I think,
is that right?
You're... we're in our world, you're looking at things like, I guess to get more detailed, you're looking at the way people respond to you, the way people, I'll go specific. If someone has a question, it's within our culture that you're responding within 4 to 8 hours on an answer so that you're not prohibiting a show or a particular piece of equipment from getting to where it needs to be. When you're talking with your managers are you're really sitting down and understanding what you are trying to accomplish from a personal standpoint and what you want to get out of the company, what you want to get out of your job, where you see your growth going. And I know that sounds vague, but it's meaningful to the...
Is that enforced? Is that enforced that the manager...
It's not enforced. It's something that's just inherent in our company. Now, I will say that a lot of this culture transformation started about 6 months prior to us enacting this, and it came from the top because they realized that the employees weren't engaged. They didn't feel that they were getting the information they needed around company growth and where, you know, what was going on, where we are revenue-wise, and the executive team responded, and so you could say it's kind of forced, but I don't think it was. I think people just said, all right, now that you're talking and you're letting us know, we're going to go out and we're going to tell people, here's why you want to work here. So, you know, it's, you know,
so let's sum it up. You defined a bunch of recruiting positions that you have to recruit often and a lot, and then you did job descriptions for the people, and then you defined the culture. What's next?
Absolutely. So what's next is you're then going to go out and once you have talked with everybody, you're then going to go out and start looking at pockets of people with the specialties as it relates to the positions that you're seeking. And the way we did that was we went out, you know, obviously you have the old standby LinkedIn, but we also started tackling groups at shows. So when not when recruiters were at the shows, but when managers were at the shows, we would talk to them and say, hey, if you find somebody, you know, hand them your card and have them give you a call or give them my card. I used to give them my cards, and I'd hand them out and say, you need to call this guy. I like what you bring to the table.
So you told your managers that if they go to a trade show or some show they're putting on and they meet somebody who would be good for your company, give them your card, the recruiting manager's card. That's one thing you did to build your talent community. Is that right?
Right. That's right. So that's one thing.
And what kind of result did you get from that? How many people called you?
You know, when I looked at it, we probably got about 30.
If I want an answer, I don't expect a sigh. I want ten people called me. Nobody called me. 100 people called me.
I'd say probably got about 15 calls.
That's
not a not a lot. Initially, it did work, but it then did start to slow off. Now, whether that was the manager not taking my cards or just they're so crazy busy at those trade shows that they just didn't even think about it. But we used to get a lot of referrals.
Look, I got to tell you, they're saying on Twitter the show's slow moving. Okay.
Yeah.
The animal crew out there saying it's slow moving. So let's get. We've already done the preliminaries. How did you get the people to join the talent community?
You bet. So we had a portal out there.
The first thing you did didn't work with the cards. What was the next thing?
The next thing we did is we put out we did tap into the people of our ATS system and let them inform them of our
them?
We did an email blast, but we also had these folders built where we had people in the that we had set aside that we knew that they were stars, but we didn't have a position for them. We reached out to them to have them join the talent network.
How did you reach out?
We called them and we told
them
about what we did. We called them, absolutely.
What did you tell them? Let me say it again. What did you tell them on the phone? Hold on a sec. There's a lot of people here. Hey, you guys who are listening on the line here, do you have any questions so far for Mike or any advice for him about what to tell you so you know what he's talking about? There's a lot of people here. Anybody want to talk?
I'm so busy jotting down notes that
Yeah. Okay.
But I can't.
Anybody
really
want to talk?
I'm amazed that he got 15 callbacks from giving out his cards. I've never gotten that.
Okay, maybe he's better looking than
what
you,
What does he
Kathy?
Do differently? That's what I'm
I don't
wondering.
Know. He wasn't even there. Okay, but 15 cards is nothing, okay, for these evergreen positions. That's not much. It's not successful. Okay, Mike, okay. So you called up these people, and what did you tell them? We're starting a website for, you know, people like you who are interested in our company. What did you say to them?
I didn't tell them it was a website. I told them, I said, look, we want to have collaboration among everyone who in certain professions, and we see you as a top performer. We don't have a job for you now, but if you want to stay connected to the company, we've got a portal that you can go to, and I'll send you the portal. So I did end up having to email them, you know, hey, good to talk to you, and stuff like that. But we've got a portal for you that you can actually sign into. You can get updates about our culture. You can get updates about different events going on, the events that we're covering around the globe. You can get, you know, press releases, you know, and they could get those press releases online.
And how did these people get into your database to begin with? Did they apply to jobs they were rejected for?
Yes, they did.
Were they the runners-up?
They weren't necessarily all runners-up. They were people that were maybe overqualified for a particular position but had potential after. Because we did talk to them. We weren't going to turn away the bad candidates. One of the things that we would do before we closed any of our positions is we would talk to the candidates that applied even after the position was closed, saying, hey, you know, we appreciate you applying. But, you know, the position, you know, your qualifications are a little out there over and above what we were looking for. However, we want to put you into, keep in touch with you. And there are several ways. Obviously, we're going to call you when a position opens up with what you have.
Okay.
The second
thing is, so far, that's a talent pipeline. You say, look, we want to send you our newsletter, essentially, just like Walmart. You can sign up, and they'll send you notices about Black Friday or Boxing Day or whatever. Special sales they're having. So that's what you did so far. But you built a talent pipeline. Did you build a talent community where you have a discussion group like on Facebook?
The answer is no, we did not get there. No. It's a
emphatic
no. We did not get there because I had left the organization. That is something that we're going to do here at American Heart because
okay, so
we have
still, that's
over.
Still a that's a hypothetical. Okay,
oh,
that's a hypothetical.
No, it's not a hypothetical. It's factual.
Do I still have to stay for the rest of the show?
No, Jerry, you can go. I know Jerry's not feeling well. He's
no, right. I just that's a big letdown. He's saying that he didn't develop a talent community.
That's what he
is that
just
what
said,
I just heard.
Yeah. That's the revelation. That's
and this show was the guy who built a talent community.
That's what I thought.
Do you see the disconnect here?
I do.
Let's play that tape again and see what you said. Hold on a sec.
Okay.
Animal would like to know, Michael, have you had any success with hiring from your talent network or talent pipeline or talent communities?
We have hired 15 people as a result of the pipeline, and I know that we're adding 4 or 5 more this month. So
He said pipeline.
He said pipeline.
I just assumed.
So once again, our pursuit of the ever elusive, successful talent community remains ongoing.
That's true.
However,
we're 20 minutes in, and the truth is discovered. Okay.
Well,
but
always have me back once I do it. Jerry Rowe.
But the point is, the guy. Hold on,
he's trying. This guy is trying, though. I like
it. Trying, but not only that, he made between September and February, he made 20 hires from his pipeline or his network or whatever you want to call it, his newsletter group.
That's where we're all recruiting is our pipeline and our emailing network and our database. And to me, a talent community is a certain group of people all sitting around discussing how great it would be to work at company X. And they're talking amongst themselves and they're sharing content. And they're all, like, I picture a bunch of people sitting in a big movie theater just waiting to be invited on stage for an interview. That's what I see as a talent community. There's no such thing. To this day.
Not only so you say it's impossible to have a talent community because nobody's interested in nothing.
Nobody cares
about
your company if they're not hiring and they're not looking for a job.
But what
nobody
if
does.
Hiring? But what if they are hiring?
Are you interested in them? The moment they realize that you're not, they're gone. They don't care about you.
No, I understand that. I'll agree with you 100% on that. And,
okay, so
what's
Mike,
that?
So here's the thing. So is Jerry right when, you know, essentially hiring from your newsletter group or pipeline, it's just essentially going back into your database and hiring from there. But it's putting people on a message list. So I'm going to say Jerry's right about that. But
and also, though, there's nothing wrong with that. That's every recruiter's goal, is to have a great database of people that you can connect with, whether it's call them, email them, or what have you. But they're not all talking to each other. That's what a community does.
Okay, yeah, so, but also, here's the thing. Jerry's not the only one who believes this, and I have to say it makes a lot of sense. It's hard to keep a group going just talking about the jobs in a certain company. I've only seen it in one place. Microsoft had a jobs blog. They started back in 2004. There were three girls running it, and it was pretty successful. There was always guys asking about questions about working at Microsoft. Have you seen it anywhere else, Mike?
Intuit.
Intuit has it?
Yeah, I believe it's Intuit. Yeah, they have a pretty good, kind of to what Jerry was alluding to around the Facebook, or maybe it was you, Animal, that said, they actually do a pretty good job. I forget the woman's name. She gets on there, and she'll talk about, you know, applying for jobs, and it gives anyone who – it's almost like it's a large Google Hangout, and you just go in there, and I don't know if she's still doing it, and she may be, but I've seen it successful there. But, you know, that's a pretty big brand name. Well, American Heart's a pretty big brand name. At Freeman, it wasn't. So, you know, I'm not making excuses. I just think it's going to be easier to have that community here, Jerry, than it was at the other place. And one of the things that I did hire was a candidate engagement you're going to love the title, a candidate engagement specialist, and that person starts on Monday. So basically, that person's responsibility is going to be to build the network and then eventually create the community that you guys are talking about.
Okay, yeah.
Down the road.
Yeah, but what you just described at Intuit was not a community, an ongoing community. It was a bunch of events, like a question and answer events, like –
Yeah, I haven't seen anything else. You know, Microsoft, you know, they have all that the technology and tools to do that and stuff like that. That's something that I aspire to have. So,
okay.
But,
well,
you know what?
I got a bunch of other questions. Are we finished with that topic, or is there anything else to say? We're halfway through the show.
No, I'm good, unless
okay,
you want to ask more questions.
I'm expecting a delivery. The guy just buzzed me. I'll let it go. I'll have to walk over to the post office and pick it up later. Okay, figures he knew he had to come during the show. Okay, very nice.
Well, some guy came over and needed something?
It's a Canada Post. They're buzzing me from downstairs. Okay, so anyway, you just moved from an event creation company, this Freeman, to the American Heart Association, heart.org. So you've moved to a new niche. You're the chief recruiter in an industry you don't know anything about. How are you going to make that switch?
As Jerry says, I've started making the switch. What was the hardest part for me is it's fun to work in the nonprofit. What makes it fun to me is the things around the culture, and we're building the employee value
proposition.
Is that
the question
now.
I have? You don't understand the jobs that you're recruiting for. How are you going to learn what they are?
I'm sitting doing side-by-sides. I'm working with we're doing partnership conversations where we sit down and we talk with the hiring managers, and it's not just a 30-minute conversation. I mean, I'm really getting in and sitting down with the people that they work with. I'm getting in front of the groups, understanding the objectives.
But you told us what kind of people you were recruiting before. What kind of people are you recruiting now? How are you going to – did you hear my introduction? You know, some people don't like talking, to candidates when they don't really understand their business. Is that an issue for you?
I don't think it's an issue for me, because one of my first things that I do is I get in there and I try to learn, I do learn the company as quickly as I can, because I can't recruit for something I don't know, right? So some of the positions, so back to your previous question, there are science positions. These are science and medicine advisors. These science and medicine advisors have to go through specific AHA guidelines as it relates to heart disease. You may have seen some news. It was here, big here in the United States. United States, where these people wrote these guidelines around cholesterol and taking statins. So they come in and they do all the research to make sure everything is lined up with specific AHA guidelines. I also hire communication people.
Yeah, okay.
And all that.
I want to know how you find out how to be an intelligent interviewer. Do you just talk to the hiring manager for half an hour?
No, hell no. I spend more time with them. I talk to my hiring managers, when I'm learning the position, I am talking to the hiring manager.
Okay,
specifically
I want to move on. I'm going to ask you a bunch of quick questions. You're a bit of a wordy guy. You have something to say, but you're a bit wordy, so I'm just going to keep moving quickly now. So email blast. We had a discussion about them. Not everybody thinks they're good. They consider them to be spam, but you think they're okay, right?
I think they're okay if you're targeting them.
Okay.
If you're targeting toward candidates with information that they'd be interested in.
I agree. If you're recruiting quality control managers for the automotive industry and you send out 1,000 emails to people who are in quality in the automotive industry, I don't consider that to be spam, right?
Right.
You agree with me on that. Okay.
Yes, sir.
Now, what value does an external recruiter bring to a corporate recruiter like yourself?
The things that they bring is a larger database of candidates, more familiarity with the world that I'm in because they've been in it a lot longer. So we don't use a ton of agencies here because we're nonprofit, but if they understand the science and medicine world or research world or fundraising world a lot better than I can and get people in quicker, I'd rather pay that amount for those people to help us.
What if somebody says, listen, Mike, I'm going to give you a choice. You can have me do a thorough screening of the person, really close them on the salary, interview them for an hour, or I'll give you five resumes within, 48 hours or 72 hours after our first conversation. Which one's most important to you? And those five people or four people, those four resumes, those guys have been contacted by email blasts, and then there'll be very brief screens to say, yeah, they're willing to move ahead, but they haven't been fully closed and everything before going to you. Is that all right with you, or is that going to be a problem for you? Do you understand the choice I'm giving you?
I would go with choice number one.
I'm going to give you those guys.
With choice number one. Because you've already screened them, you know who you want to present. You've got everything. It's not number one. You don't want to send any emails. You want to know. I want to see the qualified candidate. The sooner the better. Why mess around?
Okay. No. You misunderstood. You didn't understand. I'm saying you're getting somebody who's been fully screened and actually fully closed over time.
Might take a few weeks.
As opposed to getting a bunch of, people who seem to be right within just a couple of days. Which would you choose?
I'd still choose choice number one.
Speed.
Speed. Speed. Well,
speed over
the person's
quality.
Is the person qualified?
Yeah. They seem to be qualified. Yeah. I haven't spent that much time with them necessarily. I do an email blast. The people who reply, I spend 5 minutes on the phone. Say, yeah, you have a checklist of this. Yeah. You think you might be interested? Yeah. Boom. You get five resumes tomorrow or within 48 hours. The alternate is, I do extended interviews with people. I make sure that they're willing to take the salary and everything like that that you're talking about. I find out if they've got any concerns. I do a full job on these guys. So once they come to you, they're really interested and they're probably really qualified. You have to just see whether you like them or not. But really,
Alla wants you to open her line. She has a question for you.
Okay, thank you. Mike, you want to answer my question before you go
over?
Yeah,
sorry, I didn't.
Am I on?
Yeah, you're on too.
Gosh, finally.
Okay.
So I would take option two because I want to have a choice. Speed is important, but quality of candidate is more important to me.
Amy Alla, you're complaining, now you're on. You want to talk?
Hello?
Pick up the phone.
Okay. So you said something earlier. I'm going back to something you said earlier. You talked about
needing to, you know, sit down and have all these lengthy conversations and learn the data sciences, whatever you're doing inside and out. But then the value that an external recruiter is going to bring is that they know it really well and have these deep networks and have all this information. So are you suggesting at some point, once you know everything, you no longer need the external recruiter?
No, never. No, I didn't say that. I don't think – I think you – look, one of the things that we did at the other organization is we would define right up front, do you know anybody? If you know anybody, let's get them in front of me. Let me determine the culture and the fit. You can focus on the technical skills. The second thing
– don't need to know the technical skills because that's not what I thought I heard.
I think you don't need to know the insides and outs. You need to understand just kind of the overall hovering high-level topics. And then it's up to the hiring manager to dig into those, dig a little further into, you know, especially if you're doing IT recruiting. I could never have a conversation with someone about ATG.
Right on.
Ruby on Rails. I just couldn't.
But you think you could recruit a good Ruby on Rails programmer, right?
I could identify that candidate. I could make sure that they had the minimum qualifications to what the hiring manager is looking for. And that's part of that meeting with the hiring manager is understanding what they're looking for and understanding how they're going to interact with the team rather than just saying, okay, well, you just need Ruby on Rails. I'll just go find the Ruby on Rails program. What makes a good Ruby on Rails programmer? What makes a bad Ruby on Rails programmer? And I'm trying to assess what keywords I need to be listening for when I'm talking to those candidates based upon my conversation with the hiring manager.
Okay. Amy, anything else?
Not for now.
Okay. Here, you know what I just remembered? I'm going to call it the Mike Raymer gambit, but we might call it the candidate coattail gambit. And Jerry's well acquainted with this situation. If I make a mistake...
I know many
situations.
Yes,
I do. I'd like to be corrected. Mike
had
a candidate that he was job hunting, and he was marketing the candidate.
Oh, geez.
But the candidate...
This is going to get my blood boiling again, Animal.
Listen to this, Mike Goldberg, super recruiter. The candidate found an opening on his own, and the company called him back. They wanted to do an interview. So he got back in touch with the recruiter and said, I don't want them to leave you out of it. But the recruiter, in fact, hadn't made the contact for him. So the recruiter's a ballsy kind of guy. He called up the company, and he said, look, this candidate, I've been working with him, and he doesn't want me to be left out of the process. I know a lot about this candidate. I'll help you close him, you know, and I'll bill you my fee. What would you say, Mike Goldberg, if that happened with your company?
Let me make sure, can I get clarity again? So basically you want to know if – Can everybody be involved in the closing process? Is that
no. What happens? No.
Canada was found by this company. This company connected with this dude and said, hey, come on in here for an interview. Some way and in some fashion, we don't know if the candidate called the recruiter or the recruiter stumbled into this as it was going on, but the recruiter called the company and said, hey, I understand you might be interested in so-and-so. I'm his recruiter. If you want him, you need to go through me and pay my fee. Are you just finding this whole thing just shockingly absurd?
Absurd. I have not run into a situation like that.
Pretend you just did.
Huh?
How is it not absurd?
That's a good question. I don't know. Anyway, let's move on. I would have said, but the thing is, here's how it's not absurd, Amy. The last we heard from Mike, the company accepted him into the process and was apparently going to pay him a fee for...
What else is he going to say?
Okay.
Yeah,
I mean, certainly he's not going to come and say, you know, finally in the end, they told me to F-O.
Okay. Michael Goldberg, does persuasive closing make sense? One recruiter told me, I'm not going to try to convince anyone to take the job ever. He either wants it or he doesn't. What's your take
on
that?
Why would they say that? I think you have to be persuasive, though. Really, doesn't the persuasion start at the beginning of the process when you make the initial phone call to the candidate? So I think you have to tell the candidate why why they need to consider this, especially if they have other offers they're considering. You've got to convince them you're the right company.
Have you ever done that? And can you remember a time? Can you tell us
absolutely.
A time? Can you tell us a story? I didn't make you tell us any stories. Go ahead.
I'd be happy to tell you a story. So we had this. He was a creative type. And it was at Freeman. And basically, he had a choice to go either to Freeman or to a airline, which will remain nameless, a low-cost airfare based here in Dallas. And he decided to at first, his decision was, well, I'm just going to go over to the airline. And I was like, whoa, wait a minute. Let's talk about it. What's making that attractive? What is so attractive to you on that? And he went through it around, well, you know, it's the culture, and I can fly for discounted rates or fly for free. I'm like, okay, so how does that help you grow in your job, and what does that lend, you know, what does that provide to you from a growth perspective? And he goes, well, you know, it's just a great company, and they have a great, you know, all the vagueness that you were ragging on me for before, he was given to me. So I said, well, let me tell you about our culture and what we're going to bring here, and what the growth plan does look like, being very, very specific with him, telling him he's going to start as a entry-level designer. He's then going to be able to become an associate designer. You know,
was that? When did it happen? He took a
couple years ago. A couple years ago.
And he's still there?
I have a question.
Yes.
Wait a sec. What happened with that guy? How did it work out? Someone persuaded changed his mind. And he's happy? He's still happy with his choice?
Absolutely. He's very happy
with
his choice.
He hasn't reached out to you to curse you? No?
No.
Okay.
No. People come and they stay at Freeman. People come and they stay here at American Heart, too. It's very similar.
Okay. Question. Somebody had a question.
So did you know before you started that conversation that that was his trigger? What if he didn't care about career growth? Did you
we talked about what was important.
You don't
want
to lead with that if that's not what's important to him. So conversation ahead of time?
Yes, that conversation was done at the outset during the pre-screen conversation. You know, what are you looking for in a company? So I had all my notes typed up from when I initially talked with him, and I shared that with the hiring manager. So I knew going in that growth was key for him. He didn't want to feel like he was going to be stuck in a position. And that would be my recommendation to everybody out there, whether you're an agency or corporate. Find out what makes that employee tick, especially today. You've got to know what you're looking for.
I forgot. Mike sent me some questions about 5 minutes before the show started. Here's number 7. What are some of the tools available to both corporate and agency recruiters? Like, what do you mean? Like LinkedIn and Twitter?
Hell no. I'm talking about this was for the pipeline, the tools.
Okay,
I don't know if you want to hear about – I didn't know
the
if you wanted to hear
pipeline.
About
it.
Well, yeah, I mean, if there's some good information that doesn't take a lot of explanation, like attracting candidates to click the join button – I thought we established it that doesn't mean that much. You were calling people up and saying we want to send a newsletter, right? So tell me, if you want to get somebody to get email from your blog or something like that, how do you attract them to do that? Do you have a secret for them?
Make it a picture of a hottie where they don't really know that they're signing up for email, but they just think that they're going to go to, like, 20 hottest celebrity picks of the year or something like that.
You know
click
what,
on
I
it
tell
bam.
You, I might get attacked for this, but I think that if you're having a talent community like Microsoft has, or like he said, Intuit has, I think you're better off with a woman running it, quite frankly.
Of course you are.
Now put on a dress.
Okay, so attracting candidates to click your join button, is there something really short that you have for that? Just say no, it's an extended conversation, I don't want to hear it then. But if it's short, I'd like to know.
There's not a magic formula to it. The tools that I was focusing on were the different types of pipeline tools that you can use out there from a CRM perspective, if anybody
like what?
Cared.
Okay, tell.
The three that I've really kind of become fond of and that we're looking at here is Avature, Findly, Findly, and Loop, which is a mobile provider, but after talking with them, after we started going through it, they also kind of have a CRM tool that you can build in, and it's all mobile friendly.
Is that the Australian company? That's the Australian company, is it? How do you spell it? Loop? L-O-O-P?
L-O-O-P. No, he's based in Chicago. No, I think he's from London, the guys from London. So those are the three tools that I've looked at. The big problem is that these ATS systems are crap, and for the agency folks on the phone, I mean, all you have to do is get a CRM tool, which is a lot better than any ATS system, because you can do all your communication from there, and you can do some communication from your ATS, but you can't bring the two systems. You can bring the two systems together, but rarely does it work very well.
What about managing your database of candidates? You're saying that's not, you don't need an ATS for that?
Well, we do because we're a federal contractor here in the United States.
Uh-huh.
But
let's say somebody like Jerry wanted to go and buy an ATS or something to hold his database of candidates and communicate with them. What would you recommend?
Funny that you should mention that because I'm in the market. Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, no, I would tell them to do a CRM. Don't waste your money on an ATS. Because the ATS, you can source your candidates better in a CRM than you can in ATS. The ATS wasn't built for that, and it sucks. So I have,
really? So give me an example or two of the CRM stuff that you're talking about.
Just give me three. Go ahead.
Three. So basically you have the ability to communicate socially. You can build a mobile-friendly site, which is going to be important. You make it short, simple, and sweet for them to apply. One of the three that I looked at, it's basically one-click apply, and it's pretty nice, and that's what candidates want. They don't want this 3, 4, 5, 6, 7-click apply. So you need something that's going to be fast and easy for your end user.
And can you store resumes and data and notes in a CRM then?
Yep, you can store forms, you can create custom fields. You can
search through those forms for keywords and stuff.
Yep,
like
you can add tags to them is what you do.
The only difference between a CRM, it's Durbin, the only difference between a CRM and an ATS is an ATS has all those steps, so you can say you've gone through the different processes. You're a prospect, you're a candidate, you've done your interview, you're scheduling it from here. An ATS is like the bastard son of a good CRM.
Okay.
If you're only doing that because you're trying to force people into a recruiting process. A CRM is just an open database that has lots of cool things. You can put any information you want into it. You can schedule email sends. You can schedule tickler files.
Very cool. It's actually
better for sales as opposed to I hated ATSs because they're terrible for sales. So
these like, say, Bullhorn and Sendout and PC Recruiter and Max Hire, are those CRMs or are they ATS?
Those are ATSs, but for those, because those aren't bad, but those are used if you have a staffing agency, if you have a bunch of people working for you. If you're an individual, you should be using your own brain, which is why the CRM is so much better.
Well, I've got five or six people, so what's the solution for me?
You need an ATS.
Dang it. See, man,
I would disagree with that.
You've got crappy ATS now.
Are they all great recruiters? Do you have anybody who's young? Do you have anybody that you need to – because if you have several people, you need to figure out –
if they weren't great, they'd be fired, Durbin.
Well, here's
we're going to have to let you go.
Let the guest talk. Thank you, Jim Durbin, the great
– I don't know, Jim. I might disagree with you on that. The only thing you can't do is, and Jerry, I doubt that you post jobs. I mean, that's really what an ATS is for. It's just a job posting system.
Okay.
But you can buy per seat. I mean, we had six seats at the other place with one of the tools that I mentioned, and we all used it and shared candidates. It was a good way to share candidates. So if someone found a great candidate for here in Dallas, or I found a great candidate for somebody in Las Vegas that I came across, I was going to put them in the system and we shared them. And that's what you want.
What did you use? What are you talking about?
The CRM tool.
Yeah. Well, can you name it? Or are you?
Yeah, I'm happy. It was Avature. I looked at Avature. It's nothing fancy. They have an ATS you can buy the ATS. They have an ATS system. You can buy an ATS with the CRM if you want. Essentially, they claim that and I haven't seen it, is that the ATS system acts as your CRM tool.
Okay, we've got to change the topic. All right,
we're finally getting to something that your audience wants to hear about.
Do they want to hear?
And you cut it off.
I'm concerned because they're telling me they're falling asleep, okay? But go ahead.
They were asleep when they dialed the number, dude.
Right, when I got
on. Don't blame it on
us. They're half asleep.
I'm trying to go to Avature.com, and I don't see it.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it's Avature.net, sorry.
That sucks.
No, well, no. The guy that founded it's actually pretty brilliant. I think he had something to do with Monster, if I'm not mistaken.
Okay, but what about PC Recruiter? What about PC Recruiter has the inhaler function? You won't get that on a CRM. Is that, you know, specific and useful to recruiters? Are you familiar with that?
I'm not.
Because Jerry loves nothing better than a bunch of resumes scraped from the web and sort of.
No, guys, I've got between all my – we probably have, I don't know, 10,000 resumes, and I want to put them all in one file in the cloud that we can all have access to and use.
I mean, and have they all been touched, all of those 10,000? Have they been touched?
Touched in what way?
Someone has looked at them and dispositioned them. Someone's looked at them.
Yeah, I mean, they're all personal resumes that were sent based on communication.
What are you guys using now?
Nothing. That's why I'm solving this problem, people.
So you have resumes that are in your computers and on a server?
Right. And it's fine for all of us working individually. I mean, it's the easiest way to go. Search through your own resumes.
I want to combine them
into one database.
Yeah, you should go with the ATS because your people are used to talking on it as the recruiting terms. The CRM is just the only real difference is that it's the way that you treat it. They all do the same thing. They search for information. Build up profiles. But because your guys are recruiters, the advantage of an ATS is nominally, to most part, they speak the same language.
So now I'm reading on Avature's site. It says Avature CRM, the only enterprise CRM built for recruiting.
That's marketing. It doesn't mean anything.
Yeah.
Well,
they
claim that it lets recruiters
like
engage across multiple channels, and blah, blah, blah. So.
Well, our guests liked it.
I'm just checking it out.
Avature, PC Recruiter, Bullhorn, and Sendouts are all fine. You've got to make sure you get a tool that uploads all 10,000 of those with the notes correctly. That's your real challenge.
Most of them don't have notes. I'm not big on writing notes like don't ever call this guy again or nasty attitude.
Yeah, but
you know what I mean? I just don't need
resume,
that.
Don't you?
What's that?
You have to figure out who has talked to those people.
Nope, don't care.
Don't care at all.
To this point.
Really?
You just
want
to care? 10,000 if somebody's talked to them before.
Really? You don't want
to
know
that? Hold on. Every resume that we all have is due to us connecting out with them. So this isn't just a pile of resumes that I got at a garage sale. So I assume that we've connected with all these people. That's our baseline. I want to know who's laughing.
That's Amy Allen. She's right to laugh. That was funny. Now, look, I got to say something. I want to say something in my own defense before the show ends. Okay? One of the future guests. He's going to be a guest soon, a guy named Chris Balby, I think his name is. Anyway, he's complaining that I'm Chad Balby, Chad with two D's, okay?
Chad.
I'm going to get, that's Chad. It's not easy. Why make it easy to spell or hard to spell? Chad, two D's. Okay, so anyway, here's the thing. I want to know when a recruiter tells me that he's a great recruiter because he is in the profession. He's a member of the profession he's recruiting for. And then Mike Goldberg, who was just hired as a director of recruiting in a high-profile organization, I want to know what both of those different guys think is required to be a good recruiter. I'm assuming Mike is a super recruiter, and he doesn't think he has to know as much as that other recruiter does. So if you accuse me of being too simple-minded and talking about things that you have to know when you're, you know, a first-year recruiter, don't tell me that. That's not valid. I have to clarify what a recruiter has to know to be a good recruiter. Okay, sorry. I don't know if anybody understood what I said, but
he was barking about the show degenerating to first week of recruiter. I was looking at it. I responded, said, sounds like Philly angst to me. You know, whatever.
Yeah, so I noticed our guest was now just off aimlessly tweeting.
Right. Okay, look, just once. Leave me alone.
Thanks for the focus there.
Just once.
Goldberg.
Come on.
Look, Mike Goldberg, loser feedback. This is a constant question. You know, they all want to say, how come I didn't get the job? But, you know, one of my candidates said, look, it's really all chemistry in the end. So there's really nothing we can tell you. Do you give, you know, feedback to the people who don't get the jobs, or is it dangerous to do that?
I give them feedback without crossing the line. Let me give you a story. How about that? You want another quick story? Quick. I promise it's quick. So I had a guy who actually was a friend of mine, and there was this opening, and he came in and he interviewed. It was for a senior director type position in a marketing role. Well, he walks in, and he walks into the interview room, and there are four women that are interviewing him. And he goes, oh, looks like we're casual. And he takes his jacket off, and he sits down. But basically what came out of it at the end was he came off as very chauvinistic and very arrogant and just wasn't a good fit within what we're looking for our culture. And whether it was me just trying to help him because I know he wanted to get out of where he was working, I gave it to him straight. And I go, you can't do that. And he appreciated it, you know, and he, you know, you gotta make people aware if they're doing something not so smart, you gotta tell them you're just not doing it. That's just not the way to do it. So
That's easy to change. You know, don't be too casual or don't take off.
Right.
You know, don't. That's something that's easy to change. If they just don't like his personality, you're gonna tell them that?
I'm going to tell him that it just wasn't a – I'll use the quote. It just it wasn't a fit. They just didn't feel like there was a connection with the organization.
I've never considered you saying that. Kind of an ambiguous, it just wasn't a fit.
Well, but you can also say –
I'm just kidding, dude. That's what we all say. So, again, nobody's going to tell the guy, hey, you're a weirdo, you're a freak. Nobody was into it. They were scared of you. You're out.
You know what?
Wait
a minute. So I had one here, actually, just thinking about this a couple of weeks ago, where the woman came in and she did her interview, and it wasn't a fit. And when she says, well, what does that mean? I said, well, it was the way you presented yourself in the interview. It came across that you weren't very interested in the position or in working for American Heart altogether.
Okay,
and
so hold on.
Goes,
let me
well,
stop you right
true.
There. This is the problem that you get into.
Right.
Because then your candidate is going to come back and say, oh, no, I'm super, super interested.
Right. Oh, yeah.
Or
right.
If you tell them, well, you hadn't installed this particular software, and then they come back with, oh, yes, I have. Here's what – you don't want to get into specifics about why you're out because you just get into an argument about it. Not an argument, but a back and forth. That this she is interested. Yes, I am. I swear. I've researched the company. I really want to work there. So, well, then what are you supposed to say?
Well, here's what
I said
to her.
It's like breaking up with a bad boyfriend. I'm sorry. It's not you. It's me. It's over. Don't call me.
I've never done that.
That's it. Don't get into
it. I used to say, it's not me. It's not you. It's me. I don't like you.
Either way.
Okay. Yeah, and I think that's
Blaine. They're going to start trying
Jerry,
to argue back.
Hey, Jerry, I have an
Andy
Edwards guy, E1, in and around Indianapolis. Do you need him?
Yeah.
Talk to him on the after show about that. Talk to him on the after show about
hey,
that.
Hey, Cleveland.
Mike.
Cleveland.
Oh, sorry.
Yes,
yeah,
Cleveland.
Mike.
My bad.
See,
Andrew,
that's
the last question. Let me ask the last question. You guys can talk on the after show the other stuff. Mike. The last week, our guest, a great guy, very smart, he said a lot of his business comes because hiring managers don't really know what they want. And because he understands their business, he can tell them, this is what you need. You don't need a guy from a big company. You need somebody who's got these skills. Do you find that, too, that you really have to, you know, take these hiring managers in line and tell them what they really need for their department? And do you feel confident in doing so if that, in fact, is what you do?
I think I would be a pretty crappy recruiter and a crappy business partner if I were to tell them that. They know who they know in their minds the types of skills they need. I want them telling me I'm not doing the best job or I need to improve on something. You tell me what you tell me where I'm falling short or if you've got everything you need. But no, I would never tell them that.
Really?
It's not good for business.
Okay,
you know,
but don't
the only thing I will tell them, the only thing I coach them on animal is on time. If they're taking way too long, we go, we're going to lose the candidate. And if I definitely don't hear from them within, you know, a couple of weeks after responding, I call them up and I go, are you interested in filling this role? I've sent you 3-5 candidates, hadn't heard anything back from you. Where are we on this? Well, I don't have time. Well, do you want to hold off on this position now? Because we're going to lose the candidates regardless. So what do you want to do? And so that's when I kind of get feisty.
Do you have a story about that? Because those guys
wait. If you
bad.
Have a douchey hiring manager that's like hitting on female candidates, you're not going to coach them on that? And there's no
scenario you're going to coach idiot hiring managers? That's not what the question was. How's that related?
You just said the only thing I'll coach on is time.
If it was something inappropriate like that, yeah, we would talk on that. I don't sit and tell them. I'm not their babysitter. I'm not going to tell them. Now remember, don't ask it. They know the rules. They've been trained.
Mike, I'm running out of time. And actually, you're a guy we could ask a lot of questions to. So I just want this one. So when these guys tell you this is an urgent job, you go out and bust your whatever, getting these people in there, and then 2 weeks later, the person hasn't moved on them. Who's going to look bad if there's a hiring problem? Not him, you. So what do you do? How much in your face do you get with these hiring managers?
As much as I need to, and basically what I'll do is I'll get in there and I'll say, look, you know, again, back to my other example, you are, you know, you're not moving on this. What do we need to do to get this moving? And so I'm not going to sit around and wait because obviously I've got other positions, I've got other things that I'm doing, and so I'm going to bite back. But my recruiters haven't picked that up yet. And that's one of the things to say. You know, it's okay to push back, and it's okay to ask the tougher questions of them. Don't let them push you around. You have a business partnership. You've got to work together. You guys should be talking once a week anyway. And if they're not responding back to you, then you need to go to them and say, what's going on? And if they're still not responding, then you go a step above and you say, hey, what's going on? You need this position filled? Yeah, we do. Is there a problem? Yeah, there's a problem. I'm not hearing back from the hiring manager. Can you help me here?
Okay. And the next time you come, we're going to have to find out what happens when the hiring manager gets mad that you went to his VP. Michael Goldberg, thank you! Wrong music.
Okay, quick roll call. I'm here, Jerry the recruiter. Who else is here? Anybody?
I'm here. Amy's
Kathy?
Here.
Am I allowed to stay on?
No.
No,
scram.
You're allowed to
stay on. Scram!
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, you're not allowed to sit in the afternoon.
Let me tell you why. What we do is we kind of evaluate the show, and in the past it was difficult for people to offer solid critiques knowing that the guy was still listening. So that's why we got to ask
Kick
you to
back off. Hey, Animal, can you get back with me, or Jerry, can you get back with me on that?
On what?
On the critique. I want to hear it.
Yeah, sure.
All right, cool. Hey, thanks, guys. I appreciate it. It was a good show. And Jerry, if you need any contact information over any one of those CRMs, let me know, okay?
Yeah, I'm just trying to solve that dilemma here right now. As we've got more recruiters working here, we're stepping over each other's toes, and I don't think we need to.
All right. Well, hey, thanks, man. Good holiday. I appreciate it.
Yeah, see ya.
Yeah, bye.
Okay, so we have Kathy.
We do.
Anybody else?
Amy's here.
Amy. Durbin?
This is Todd Porter. I'm here this week.
Who?
Todd Porter.
Todd Porter, yeah. You like to pop in and out, don't you? There was a good example. Who else?
That's good.
Who else is here? Durbin?
Yeah.
All right. And who else? Come on, people. Sign in. Because I don't want to forget to ask everybody their scores for the show. And then I want to talk about an ATS system. So, Kathy, let's start with you. What do you think?
I was really bored until you did bring up the ATS topic.
Mm-hmm.
And people are getting into it and saying, you know, we should have started off with that. But the only thing I liked what he said was something that he suggested for you, and that's the Just Apply button. Do you remember that?
No. I think that's when Amy was laughing at me, which made me feel bad.
Yeah, the whole thing. You know.
I'm a sensitive person, Amy. I'm a real human being. I'm not just a picture of a baby on Facebook.
But I hate that picture.
No, you're dealing with those.
Picture.
You don't like my picture? You don't like my baby picture?
I love your baby picture.
Oh, my God.
You don't like it,
Kathy? You know, when I was looking for a job about 6 months ago, I loved the ones that said just apply, and it was so easy, and I didn't want to fill out like 5 pages of paperwork. So I didn't really follow the show.
Okay.
It really, people were talking about football and weather, and I think the guy's a decent guy, and I just think Animal maybe didn't ask the right questions. This time I'm down on Animal. So I'd have to give the guest a 70.
Mm-hmm.
I think he could have offered more when he started, like, doing the storytelling. You know, we got more interaction going. So I'd give him a 70, and I think Animal a 60 because he should have asked better questions.
Mm. So you think it was just boring? I mean, the guy was okay,
well,
just
I mean,
boring.
I have to tell you, a lot of guys left. I mean, they were talking football, and then they just said, I'm out of here. I mean, they were gone.
Gotcha.
So, Jerry, you and I just don't understand each other. I've come to that conclusion.
You and I, why?
Yeah, because you don't get when I'm joking, and you think I don't get when you're joking.
I don't think you are joking. I think it's... See, there was a good example right there.
Right there. I know.
No, the whole thing about Mike A. Stringer, well, first of all, on the Casey deal, I was just adding the perspective of LinkedIn. A lot of people think it's a waste of time. In mails, the world's full of them. I think LinkedIn has kind of already jumped the shark. That's just me personally.
I don't think so. I think it's a tool to put to your toolbox. It's something you use along with other methods.
Oh, I'm glad it's there.
Yeah.
We have a paid account. One of our recruiters uses it. I just find every recruiter's coming up with the same people from LinkedIn. It's almost aren't there other people?
Yeah,
I'm
going to
start paying like half commission
that's
if I find your
semantic search though. That's
if I find your guy on LinkedIn,
half
commission.
You know what? That's ridiculous because it's just the keywords that your people are putting in.
Yeah,
you know,
and
if
not every
people
recruiter
are finding
can
the same people on LinkedIn.
Candidate.
It's they're bad recruiters.
No, what I'm saying is if a big percentage of my candidates are on LinkedIn, then we are working with candidates who have
that's
a high percentage of they're interviewing elsewhere, they're going to get other jobs.
It's true, because I'm working on a
total
really
bias.
Tough search now. And it
is a total bias, Durbin.
New search, what happens is you're saying a tiny portion of the people on LinkedIn, because that new semantic search is geared towards making you, it's like Google. If you type in best-selling hammers on Google, everybody goes to the same page and everybody's happy.
Right.
If everybody does the same thing on LinkedIn and uses the algorithm, they're all finding the same candidates, and they're like, well, this guy got 100 notes. How am I supposed to do anything?
Right.
This is why it's easy to beat people using LinkedIn Recruiter, because they get lazy, and they ignore the number of people that are on that platform, and they don't use the platform to find groups.
Now you see my dilemma.
Well, that's partially true, but I think that, you know, you just have to step it up and be creative in your searches and use terminology that other people wouldn't think
exactly.
of.
Exactly, and most people don't want to do that. And you got to remember, most recruiters out there, the small businesses, even the medium-sized ones, they don't have the talent. Man, I've trained 5,000 people on that platform, and the biggest courses are the basics. And the basic courses, you'd be shocked how basic the stuff I'm teaching is, because I can't do advanced. It goes way over their head. I'm just,
I don't get
there's a
it.
Lot
well, you know,
of there.
It
it's just
a I think it took a while for people to get into LinkedIn. When I was at Sodexo, we were it was when LinkedIn first really came into existence, and we were kind of ordered to learn it. And it was tough to begin with. And now maybe I'm taking it for granted. But you do just have to be creative. Very
yeah, you learned when it was hard, which means when you see this stuff now, you treat it as a tool.
It's easy.
Well, all I'm saying is if we are doing no better than getting a resume to our customer who is right there on the first page of LinkedIn, all the 90% of all recruiting activity is centered around these people on the first
They're not doing the search, right?
Right.
And
what if those people
weren't on LinkedIn? Then they'd say your candidate's not very professional.
Here's what I'm saying, Kathy.
But it's like Marine uses the phone to find people, other people who can, because everybody else went to
Monster. So I don't want to spend my time with the first 100 results of .NET developer Indiana.
Exactly.
Right.
As every one of my competitors is doing, as half of my recruiting team are doing amongst each other, and as my customer probably already did too.
Yeah, well, that's
are they joining groups and starting discussions and getting to know people?
Nah, not into that.
That's crap.
I've spoken specifically with developers and different people who they see right through a recruiter trying to add some kind of content to the .NET Stack Developers group. It's just stupid.
I don't do it that way, but, you know, I think you're well-connected enough, Gary, that you probably don't need it. But the flip side of it would be your client would come back and say, look on LinkedIn, the person's not there, and they're going to say, how professional are they really? At least in my world.
Oh, yeah.
No,
my customers would never say that.
Right. Yours wouldn't, probably.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So, Amy.
Yes.
World famous Microsoft recruiter.
Yeah.
Not speaking on behalf of Microsoft.
No.
Only speaking personally. What did you think of the show today?
I tried to inject a little controversy. I wasn't, you know,
yeah,
I have nothing against the guest. He seemed like a perfectly pleasant person, but I was asked, you know, I had a few people asking me to insert myself and shake
things up. It was boring.
Up, so.
It was kind of boring as well.
You know, here's the problem. The guest did what a lot of guests do. He wanted to be liked. He was agreeing with Animal. He was agreeing with you. He would change his answer if somebody, you know, pushed back or had a question. He was trying to kind of be everything to everybody and be really likable, and it was really dull. Yeah, nobody likes me, and I'm famous.
Yep.
So, you know? I enjoy guests who come in. That Marty Snyder guy, he was a better guest, and I hate that guy.
Really?
I don't hate him, but, you know, like, we have some issues, you know, when he was
No, I wasn't disagreeing with you hate him. I was disagreeing with he was a better guest.
No, I mean, I don't know him. I don't hate him. But, you know, we had some words and disagreed, but it made for a really interesting, thought-provoking show. So I'd rather have that. I'd rather have somebody that really just, you know, gets my Irish up and,
right,
and makes me think than somebody who's like, oh,
we
yeah,
get it.
Of course
you're Irish. You have red hair.
Yeah, well,
oh, good. Also, everybody... I'm going to add 2.5 points to everybody's score in honor of Casey Kugler's new professional picture for LinkedIn. just throwing that in here for everybody.
So I'll give the guest a 65 because there was nothing bad about the show. He's probably a very, very nice person. I'm sure we would all like him very much in real life. But
yeah.
Just wasn't that interesting, and I wish he would have been a little more controversial. That's why I hang out with the Animal show. I need a little controversy in my life.
Absolutely.
So, I'm going to give Animal a 60 because he didn't open my line right away.
Yep.
I'm a little perturbed about that.
I think
you should check out JobVite.
Who said that? What?
JobVite for your ATS, CRM, whatever.
You know, I'm so pissed off, I guess, at just the JobVite survey being used year after year to prove that 88% of all hires began with a Twitter search. That
I haven't seen that one.
Oh, whatever. The numbers may have changed a smidge, but the general theme is you better use JobVite because everybody's getting hired on social media through, wasn't it like 35 million hires off of Facebook alone?
Yeah,
maybe.
You know what I'm talking about, everybody?
But this is great. I demoed it at my old company, and I know the sales guys, and they're classy people, and I like the system.
So JobVite is an ATS?
Yeah, it's an ATS, CRM, everything. We were going to use it for everything. Like, we were going to replace Taleo at my old company with it.
I thought JobVite needs to do a better job of I wonder how many of these companies are so caught up in pushing out content and all this other crap that if they would ever just every once in a while just say, hey, here's what we do, it would really be helpful.
Maybe.
I mean, yeah.
Aperture is good, too. I like them, too, but JobVite definitely is.
Okay, I'll check that out.
I like Sendouts.
I thought Sendouts was free, and it was free because you had to look at ads from time to time, which is cool.
No.
Kind of like Pandora Radio. I like that.
Sendouts is $99 a license.
Yep, skip that then. PC Recruiter is $100 a month, right?
Yeah.
For everybody?
They're all about the same.
Total? Or it's $100 a piece?
Yeah, it's a license a person.
Yeah, I think I'm going to try to work out my own ATS then.
You take a look at Salesforce and probably get it for $45 a year. It does most of what you're looking for.
Andrea Jenkins.
There's an ATS called Job Science, and it's built on the Salesforce platform.
Job Science?
Yeah, it's pretty unique.
Job Science. And who makes that? Just Job Science? Like jobscience.com?
Yeah, I think it's jobscience.com, and it's like I say, it's built on the salesforce.com platform. So you get the CRM side of Salesforce, including the old Jigsaw or data.com and some of that information.
Yeah, see, that'd be handy. Like an ATS that you can find people in that you didn't put in there. Ooh, like it. Todd, what did you think of the show today?
I popped in about halfway through.
Mm-hmm.
So I liked it. I thought the guy knew what the hell he was talking about.
Sure did.
As opposed to some of the guests who are trying to get into recruiting and have new tools that nobody knows what the hell, you know, the next best thing, and then they don't even know what they're doing.
But he was a guest today because he was one of the first people that Animal has found that was going to come on and talk about the success of his talent community.
Okay,
and
I missed that part of it.
It was right about the 12:30 mark that it
was
determined
the customer side of working with recruiters, and he wasn't arrogant about it. And then they got into the ATS CRM stuff. So, I mean, like I said, maybe the second half was better than the first.
Mm-hmm.
I give them both 80s.
Okay. All right. Super. Glad you called in. We need some fresh opinions on here from time to time.
Okay. I'm going to pop out now. Bye.
All right. Later. Hey, Jim Durbin. So give us your perspective on this, Dan.
I mean, I know Mike. I think Mike's I think he was coming across as a bit more of a management rather than a straight recruiter. I think that's why people were starting to get – I mean, he knows his stuff. He actually does the different things. To come on and lay out the examples that Animal wanted.
Did you just get a delivery from Amazon?
Did you hear the drone? Yeah, no. Trust me, when a drone's coming for me, it won't be to deliver socks.
Oh, hey.
So
recruiting blogs at 2 o'clock. I just got an email. Live today at 2 o'clock, recruiting with Facebook from Johnny Campbell. One of his 75 different profiles.
Yeah, many profiles.
The real Johnny Campbell.
Or you could do mine in January. You could tell your people to do mine in January. Where I actually talk about recruiting.
I don't think anybody's recruiting anymore, man. I really don't.
We're all building pipelines and communities.
70 for Michael, 65 for Animal. I felt that Animal could have definitely driven the conversation more, and I felt that Michael should have taken the management hat off.
I think Animal misled.
Yelled at him for not doing it currently. You know, because he's not making 60 phone calls a day, he's got to kind of go back into the past for some of the stories.
We were duped, man. He was supposed to be the first living, breathing example of a fully functioning talent community that just feeds hires to the organization, kind of like a garden in late August, if you're looking for tomatoes. Turns out none of that was actually the case.
So there are some talent communities, but they're not. There's no best practices. They're just communities. Because community managers are all over the place, in forums and other places, and a good one is run by a good person. It's very hard for a company to hire that right person, which is why tech companies tend to do it really well. And the idea of a talent community only makes sense if you have people that are focused on products. So tech communities have those forums that are in place.
Right, exactly, and I would agree with that.
Somewhere else. The problem is they're not hiring the people who do that. It's possible. It's just a lot of work. And
a ton of work.
It sounds cooler to say talent community than it does to actually hire the right person to do so.
Yep.
Yeah, that's a challenge.
What's going on in the background there? Something weird's happening.
Yeah, I got to go. I'm going to a meeting. I'll see you guys next week.
I think
week.
We all have to go. Have a great week, everybody.
Bye.
See
Bye.
You all later. Bye.
Animal would like to know, Michael, have you had any success with hiring from your talent network or talent pipeline or talent communities?
We have hired 15 people as a result of the pipeline, and I know that we're adding 4 or 5 more this month. So I think that's successful. Really, it's shortened our time to fill, our cost per hire, the cost of turnover. We've done it all, and I think 15 hires is a good start in the first 6 months.
Oh, we're looking ahead, and the future does not look good for LinkedIn.
Oh, we're looking ahead, and the future does not look good for LinkedIn.